Usually when we're doing a book study and we come across a holiday like this, we'll break out of whatever we're studying and we'll go to something Christmas-focused for the day. And this year we don't have to go anywhere. We can just stay right on track because we're in Luke chapter 1. And today we're going to be studying verses 34 through 38. And these verses tell us of the exchange between Gabriel and Mary when he announced to her that she was going to give birth to the Son, to God's Son. We studied verses 31 to 33 last week, where we learned from Gabriel in his words to Mary about this child. We learned about the duty of this child as it is implied in his name. The name Jesus means Savior. We learned about the deity of this child as he was to be called the Son of the Most. He would be great and he would be called the Son of the Most High. And then we learned about the destiny of this child as he was to be given the throne of his father David and reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom would have no end. And to that, Mary responded as we begin reading in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The focus in this passage is on the nature of the birth of this child. This birth is going to be miraculous because this baby that has been announced is going to be born to a woman who had never had any intimate relations with any man. When Gabriel told Mary that she was to have this child, she was aware of the biological processes required in childbearing. And she questions how something like this could happen since she was a virgin. Gabriel's answer emphasizes the power of God. That's the only explanation. That's the only way this could happen. The theological term that we use to describe God's power is the word omnipotent. Therefore, I've titled this message, "The Virgin Birth: God's Omnipotence on Display." And Gabriel, when we describe the attributes of God, we often use words that we assume everybody understands, and the word omnipotence kind of like that. The omnipotent, or by omnipotence, we mean that God is all-powerful. We use this word to describe something that's absolutely true of Almighty God. There's no limit to His power. He is all-powerful. And Gabriel describes the attribute of God, this attribute of God, in very practical terms in verse 37, where he says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Today we're going to look at the omnipotence of God and the virgin birth from basically a theological perspective, because that's important, but also from a practical perspective. From a theological perspective, the account's clear. There's no room for doubt about the certainty of the virgin birth of Jesus. There are a lot of critics and there are a lot of skeptics out there in the world that dismiss the certainty or the reality of the virgin birth. They like to do that because they don't want to deal with the reality of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And the very best way to discredit His divinity or His divine nature, His deity, is to deny the reality of the uniqueness of His birth. And they mention that the Bible really doesn't talk that much about the virgin birth, so it can't be that important. In fact, it's only mentioned in two of the four Gospels, and none of the writers of the epistles ever say anything about the virgin birth. But I would submit to you the fact that Matthew and Luke both tell us about it is good enough for me. It ought to be good enough for you. Just because the Bible mentions something only once or twice doesn't mean that it's not true, and it does certainly doesn't mean it's not important and significant. So we're going to look at the theological significance and understand the, but we also want to understand beyond that the practical implications of this, the power of God in the virgin birth, and the applications of this in the life of Mary. This passage establishes the fact that the virgin birth happened. The revelation of this truth from Gabriel to Mary happens in the context of a real person, a real life, a real young lady whose life was about to be turned upside down by what she was told. So these verses have some practical applications as well as theological. But let's look first at the virgin birth and the omnipotence of God. You know, the Bible records some amazing births. Many of these births are nothing short of miraculous because of the timing, mainly because of the timing of the birth. Most of the miraculous births in the Bible were miraculous because the mothers of these children were well beyond childbearing age. This was the case, as we've already learned, with John the Baptist and Elizabeth. But it was also notably the case with Isaac, the son of Abraham, and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. And when the angel of the Lord announced to Abraham what was going to happen, he did it within earshot of Sarah. And what was her response? She laughed. She laughed because of the unbelievable nature of this promise. Others like Samson and Samuel were born as a result of God's miraculous power in opening the woman's womb and bringing about conception. But these miraculous pregnancies happen through the natural biological processes that God just simply, He supernaturally activated. And while they were miraculous, they were very different from the conception of Jesus Christ. The most remarkable birth recorded in Scripture or anywhere else is the birth of Jesus. Jesus was God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, the incarnate, eternal Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And as we learn from this passage today, Jesus was conceived in a virgin woman without a human father. The conception happened as the Holy Spirit came upon this virgin and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and the child was conceived in a completely unique fashion. Who can explain it? Who can understand it? Who's got any idea how it happened? Only God. Only God. And it's fruitless to speculate or to even postulate theories as to how it happened. Let's just take what God's explanation is as given by Luke. Critics deny the virgin birth because of the impossibility of the nature of the birth. Some want to contend that the idea of the virgin birth is just mythical, that the writers of the gospel added this concept into the life of Jesus because it already existed in some other ancient stories about the other deities who had been conceived through such miraculous methods. But in reality, that's not true. There were no earlier records of any deity coming about through a virgin birth. And the reason for that is because that's something so inconceivable the human mind probably wouldn't even think of it. It had never been even conceived of until it happened. And it had not happened before, and it certainly has not happened since. The virgin birth of Jesus is essential to our Christian beliefs. Without the virgin birth, there is no other explanation for the God-man, for this man being both 100% God and 100% man and existing fully as both. If he is not God, then he is only a man. And if he's only a man, what does that imply? He had to have been a sinful man. And if he was a sinful man, then he is not our Savior. And if he's not a Savior, if he's not our Savior, then there is no salvation. There is no gospel. There is no church. There is no resurrection. And there is no hope beyond this life. And what's Paul say of us if all that's true? We're to be the most pitied of all people. Because the virgin birth is essential to the doctrines of salvation, there's always been false teachers that have denied the virgin birth as a way to call into question the deity of Jesus Christ. It started with the religious leaders in Jesus' day who accused him of being born of fornication in John chapter 8, verse 41. Others contend that Jesus was the natural born son of Mary and Joseph, in spite of the fact that the Bible clearly asserts that Matthew's clear description of that account was that Joseph kept his wife a virgin until Jesus was born. Well, verse 35 tells us how it happened. Gives us as much of a description as we're ever going to find anywhere. It tells us that the Holy Spirit, Gabriel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You do realize there's more emphasis on the Holy Spirit in Luke's gospel than in any other of the gospel writers. These early chapters contain many references to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be involved in the supernatural creative process is not surprising. He was one of the agents of creation as the Spirit of God who moved upon the surface of the waters in Genesis 1-2. And this time, He would be the agent of creation of the God-man within the womb of this young virgin. Gabriel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The term Most High depicts God as the sovereign, omnipotent ruler of heaven and earth. This is the very God who created the universe from nothing and upholds all aspects of this creation through His Spirit. This is the power that would create life in Mary's womb. The term overshadow is used in the accounts of the Transfiguration when the glory of God descended in a cloud over Peter and James and John. But the term literally means to surround or to encompass, and is used metaphorically in the sense of to influence. The creative influence, the power of the Most High would overshadow Mary, and the creative influence would produce a child in her womb. The result would be a holy child who would be called the Son of God. Unlike any child ever born, every other child who was ever born was born with a sin nature and therefore a sinner. Jesus was the Son of God and a holy child, and He could be nothing but holy because He possessed the very nature of holy God. This birth is explained by Gabriel in response to the question of Mary, how can this be, since I am a virgin? Gabriel's answer boils down to this. It boils down to, hey girl, your God is a powerful God. It will be God's power that will overshadow you. It will be God's power that will bring about this miracle. And by the way, there isn't anything that's too hard for your God to accomplish. And as we step back from verse 35 just a little bit and look at Gabriel's explanation in the context of verses 34 through 38, we're going to see that there were some real practical matters that Mary would have to deal with. And an understanding of the power of God at work within her would be very helpful in helping her to face some of the challenges that she's going to face as a young woman who finds herself in this, facing this challenge that God's placed before her. So now I want to turn our attention really to the practical implications of the omnipotence of God as we find it in the virgin birth. In light of the difficult circumstances that Mary faced, from this unexpected and inexplicable pregnancy, she found herself in a situation where it'd be of great comfort and encouragement for her to understand the truth of the power of God. At the end of our passage, what do we find Mary's response being? She says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." What would possibly bring Mary to this place of total surrender in such a short amount of time? From facing the perplexing and the unbelievable idea that she's going to have a child and she's not yet married and God's power is going to bring that child, what would possibly bring her to the place where she would so quickly say, "Yes, Lord," and demonstrate an attitude of such total and complete surrender to the will of God for her life? What would do that? Well, it had to be what Gabriel shared about the power of God. Gabriel revealed it would be the power of God that would produce this child, just like it was the power of God that allowed Elizabeth to conceive a child. And because of what she understood about God's power, she was willing and ready to submit, to surrender. I think it's difficult for us to appreciate the consequences and at least the challenges that Mary faced in her predicament, in her situation. I mean, and it's hard for us to appreciate the level of faith and trust that had to develop or that she had to already possess in order to say, "Yes, Lord, may it be unto me according to your will." She understood the consequences of being found pregnant out of wedlock. Legally, she was already considered married because she was engaged to Joseph. Infidelity in that situation was at best grounds for divorce and at worst grounds for death by stoning. The prospects before her in light of this revelation didn't look so good. They didn't look very good. She could have been rejected by Joseph. Then her family could have turned around and walked away from her and left her all alone, an outcast in society. And she could very well have had to resort to begging or something much worse just to support herself and this baby that she would give birth to. Apart from all that's the difficulty of having to convince people she's not crazy. I mean, think about what she's got to reveal. Hey, Joseph. Hey, Mom, Dad, who she probably still lived with. I got something really hard to tell you. I'm going to have a baby. Mary. Oh, there's nothing to worry about. I haven't been with any man. Okay? Folks, that's the stuff that'll get you laughed out of even the insane asylum. Things were not going to be easy for Mary. She found herself in a situation in which she would desperately need to exercise faith and trust in the power of God. Very quickly, she had to come to a place where she understood that God's power was the reason she had this child. She would also need to understand that if God's powerful enough to produce this child within me, He's also powerful enough to make sure that I'm taken care of. And what do we see when we reach verse 38? We see the woman who said yes. We see a woman with remarkable faith. And where does this faith come from? What allows Mary so quickly and completely to bow in absolute submission to God's plan for her life? I think the answer is found in those words of Gabriel. I mean, where else could they come from? Where else could it come from? Surely a God who can cause a baby to form in the womb in this miraculous fashion and who could cause a woman beyond childbearing age to conceive and bear a son. Surely this God is able to take care of any problems that I might face as a result of God's plan. So she said yes. In total surrender to God's plan, she said, "May it be done to me according to your word." I think there's a few practical implications about the power of God in this account of the virgin birth that can help each of us in our walk of faith. So we're going to look at the other verses now around verse 35 and make some practical applications for us. First of all, faith in the omnipotence of God. Think about this. Faith in the omnipotence of God could really come in handy for us, could really be helpful for us when we are facing things that we have trouble understanding or making sense of. Can't it? It really can. This young woman, faced with this revelation, said, "How can this be?" She was confused. We learned earlier that she was perplexed. She doesn't understand how this can happen. This was something that was hard to understand. It's even incomprehensible. It was inconceivable. It's impossible. And not only is it impossible to believe, it's going to create some, unless you intervene, God, it's going to create some very difficult things for my life, Mary was thinking. You know, there's times in our own lives when we face things that we can't explain and we don't understand, and we are even uncertain about what God's asking us to do. You ever been there? The very best thing that we can do in those times is to rest confidently and trust completely in the power of God. Gabriel's answer to Mary's confusion: God is all powerful. God is omnipotent. God is able to take care of whatever concerns you might have. God's power was the answer. God is able to take care of this. Folks, God isn't panicking and God isn't worrying about things that confuse or confound us. Just because we don't understand everything and we can't see how things are going to work out does not mean that God is not capable of showing His power as sufficient for whatever challenges we might face. About 3 years ago, I stood before you, this church, with a burden to do on a full-time basis what God, I felt like God was calling me to do. Felt like this is God's plan for my life and I've been running from it long enough. Let me see what I can do to straighten, to get on the course that God's called me to. Financially, it didn't seem possible from the standpoint of my personal financial picture, and it certainly didn't seem possible from the standpoint of the church's financial picture. Because for several years, we accumulated money, and we kept giving it away and using it for the Lord's ministry, and then there was a turnaround. And for about 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 years before I said, "Hey, I want to do this full time and you need to raise my pay," we had been going in a hole an average of $2,000 a month financially as a church, and we consumed the accumulation or some of it, a good portion of it. So 3 years ago I said, "We're going in a hole about $2,000 a month, but I'm asking you to raise my pay by about that much just so I can meet the basic needs of my family." And realistically, what should have started happening? We should have started going in the hole about $4,000 a month at that time, and this whole deal should have lasted about 9 months. And then I should have had to go out and find a job and begin to do this bivocationally again. But 3 years later, here we stand. I believe, and by the way, God didn't bring a bunch of you who make a bunch of money to our church at that point. Everybody that's been here that whole time, raise your hand. Not many knew among us. And And as far as I know, those of you that are new, you're not just filthy rich and you're just pouring money into this place that we don't know, that nobody knows about. God has provided. God has shown Himself strong. Faith in the power of God is helpful when we're facing things that we don't understand. Mary was able to place her faith in the power of God and say, "Behold the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." J.C. Ryle wrote a commentary on Luke, and concerning this point, he said this. Listen to me. Faith never rests so calmly and peacefully as when it lays its head on the pillow of God's omnipotence. Faith never rests so calmly and peacefully as when it lays its head on the pillow of God's omnipotence. Folks, when God is for us, who can be against us? There's no situation or difficulty too challenging or too difficult for us to overcome. For God to overcome on our behalf. Sometimes we need to lay our heads on the pillow of God's omnipotence and rest calmly and peacefully. The second practical application of this text is this. First-hand experience with the power of God or with the omnipotence of God can help us when we're facing difficult challenges. First-hand experience with the omnipotence of God can help us when we're facing difficult challenges. Gabriel explained in verse 36, he said, "Behold, even now your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Why would a Gabriel do that? Well, I think Gabriel did that because it was true, it had happened, but also because Mary and Elizabeth were relatives, and Mary would have been very well aware of Elizabeth's barrenness and her longing for a child, and she would have understood the disgrace that Elizabeth had faced as a married woman who had never had a child. Gabriel told Mary that Elizabeth had conceived a son in her old age and was now in her sixth month of pregnancy. Gabriel's message, I believe, was intended to encourage Mary. He was giving her a real-life example of just how God's power, of what God's power is capable of doing. And hearing this about this miracle firsthand would bring Mary a stronger faith. If God was able to remove Elizabeth's disgrace of childlessness, surely this same God could protect Mary from the possibility of the disgrace of an out-of-wedlock pregnancy and the problems that would result from that. The firsthand experience with God's power, God's omnipotence, I believe helped bring Mary to this point of absolute surrender. She didn't ask for this sign, but God knew she'd need it, and Gabriel delivered it. And it was sufficient to strengthen Mary's faith at a time when she would need it most. Sometimes God grants us the opportunity to experience firsthand some of those demonstrations of His power. He orchestrates the timing of things in our lives so that we learn that His goodness, His faithfulness, and His power are being demonstrated towards us to help us through whatever we might be facing. I had a conversation yesterday that illustrates this. My niece was telling about a friend. We were talking, Donna and I were talking to a niece, and she was telling us about a friend that she'd met who lived in a town near here. She was the mother of three. She was a homeschool mom. I think about the only thing she ever did to generate income was raise these fancy rabbits. And she woke up one morning to the sounds of her husband gasping for air. And he died. About 3 years ago, I think, two or three years ago. My niece described the wonderful several events that this young woman had experienced of how God just supernaturally is providing. She's getting. This young woman, this young mother of three, still isn't working full time. She works part time. But it's just been phenomenal how God has supplied their needs. When she didn't have groceries, people pull up with bags full of groceries. She was pumping gas in her car just this week. I think it was just this week when a bearded man, they had no idea who it was, a bearded man walked up to one of the kids while mom was pumping gas and handed a Christmas card that contained $400 in cash. You know what? Sometimes God gives us the opportunity to experience firsthand His powers, the display of His power. And what does that do for us? Has anybody ever been discouraged by something like that? Have you ever thrown your hands up after something like that and said, well, this God's not big enough for me? No. And Mary didn't either. Mary looked at her own situation. She looked at Mary and said, or Elizabeth and said, man, if God can do that, I can trust Him. Third point of application. Folks, the truth or the facts about the omnipotence of God, when they are properly understood, can be life-changing for us. Look at this fact. Look at this truth that Gabriel proclaimed. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let me ask you a question. If you genuinely believed that, how much different would your life be? If we truly believe that. Now it has to be properly understood, because there are heretics that are taking things like that completely out of context and distorting the truth of God's Word and leading millions of people astray. And you know who they are and you know how I feel about them. And we're not going there. We're not doing that. So it has to, the power, the omnipotence of God has to be properly understood. But when Gabriel declares this fact to Mary, he is teaching her something that she needed to understand. He is describing God's power and how it would work in the conception of this child. He offers evidence in the life of Elizabeth that demonstrates how true it is. And Gabriel's word of testimony about this truth that nothing is impossible will be impossible with God is something Mary needed to understand, and she came to understand that God is able to take care of whatever He decrees will happen. If nothing is too hard for God's omnipotent hand, then everything certainly is possible with Him. How could it be otherwise with God? His power knows no limits. He is not bound even by the laws of nature that He created. He can accomplish anything consistent with His holy nature and His purposes. I think this is Gabriel's way of just declaring what David tells us in Psalm 103:19, that the Lord has established His throne in the heavens and His sovereignty rules over all. God's sovereign, God's omnipotent power is God's sovereign power working in our lives. And because there's no power on earth that restrains Him, understanding this fact was critical, I think, to Mary's submission. And then finally, I think what we can conclude from this is that the attitude of every believer in Jesus Christ ought to be the same as the attitude of Mary, right? Because if we truly, if we get a handle on the reality that with God, nothing will be impossible, what could we ever say no to that God asks us to do? Why would we ever say no to what God calls us to? We ought to all be saying, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." By the way, the very end of this says that, "And the angel departed from her," which meant what? She's standing there in the face of all this alone, all by herself. Or at least that's the reality. Now, the certainty is that the Lord is with her. But I would ask you, is that where you are today? Are you completely surrendered to whatever plan God puts in your path? Here's a question for you. How good are you at saying yes to the hard things that God might call you to? Well, where could we go with that? I asked Brian that question when we were having breakfast. What day was that? Wednesday morning? Or we were having lunch Wednesday. Brian Jackson. he was honest. I said, "How good are you at saying..." I was telling him what I was going to do with the board, the Gospel Rescue Mission board meeting, and that came out of this message. And I said, "I'm going to ask him," I said, "how good are you at saying yes to the hard things?" And he says, "It's time for me to head for the exits." Because isn't that the way we feel? Isn't that our natural response? If we think God's calling us to do something hard, what was Mary's response? "Yes, Lord. May it be unto me according to your word." Why? She understood the power of God, the omnipotence of God. Do you need a greater faith in the omnipotence of Almighty God? You know, as we turn our attention toward the Lord's table this morning or today, we're reminded of another great demonstration of God's omnipotence, are we not? God's omnipotence was on display at the virgin birth. God's omnipotence was on display throughout the life of Jesus. And folks, God did not lay His omnipotence down when cruel men nailed the hands and feet of Jesus to a cross. In fact, it was on display more magnificently than ever when that dead man Jesus rose victoriously from the grave 3 days later. The Lord's table this morning should remind us of the omnipotence of God. It should remind us that there's no sin too great for God to forgive. That's because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross covered all of our sins. The omnipotence of God should remind us that there is no heart too hard for God to soften. It should remind us that there's no person, no sinner, who's gone too far for God to rescue. There's no prodigal who has wandered too far for God to reach. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the reality, the truth concerning the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, thank you that the only explanation for that virgin birth is that your power overshadowed a virgin girl. And the child is a holy child who is the Son of God. Thank you, God, for the encouragement that we draw from understanding that kind of power. Thank you, God, for that kind of power that was on display in the life and ministry of Jesus. Thank you for that display of power, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross to wash away our sins. And thank you for that power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that assures us of His imminent and glorious return. Lord, as we turn our attention towards the cross and the sacrifice and the elements of the Lord's table, I pray that you would bless these elements. I pray that you would cause each one of us to search our hearts to see what we might need to deal with prior to partaking. God, I just pray that you would be pleased with the response of every person here to the work of your Spirit through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Craig.